Tomorrow, many of us will celebrate Thanksgiving by watching the parade in the morning, followed by eating turkey and dressing in all the trimmings, watching football and eating some more turkey. But in all of our activity tomorrow, will we remember God? Will we remember to thank God? Interestingly enough, in the proclamation of President Abraham Lincoln establishing Thanksgiving, there's nothing said about parades or turkey or football. Listen to the proclamation in part. Lincoln said, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensitive to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God." And later in the proclamation, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Did you see that? In his proclamation, Lincoln calls for us to take time to give thanks, to take time to praise our Heavenly Father who dwells in the heavens. Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful for the bounty we enjoy. It's a time to not forget that that bounty comes from the hand of God. Thanksgiving is a time to praise God in heaven. That's a scriptural challenge for us as well. The scripture exhorts us to be thankful, to give thanks to God. Have we forgotten the importance of thankfulness? Will we be thankful and take time in our day tomorrow to thank God for all that He's given us, to thank God for who He is? Rudyard Kipling at one time was so popular that his writings were getting 10 shillings per word. A few college students, however, didn't appreciate his writings. They facetiously sent him a letter enclosing 10 shillings. It read, "Please send us your best word." They got back a letter from Kipling. Thanks. Have we forgotten the importance of thankfulness? Bible commentator Matthew Henry, after being robbed, wrote in his diary, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." We live in a time when thankfulness is rare, when humility is even rarer, when we look to ourselves instead of to the providence, mercy, and grace of God. The heart of thankfulness is humility. The heart of humility is a recognition of God's enduring love, His grace toward us. Psalm 107 is our study for this morning. It begins in verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Warren Wiersbe said this, "How easy it is to take God's mercy for granted. Ingratitude seems to be natural to the sinful human heart." Why is it that we seem to have trouble with thankfulness? We have trouble with thankfulness many times because we lack contentment. That is, we're not satisfied with what God has provided for us, or we want what someone else has, or we focus on what we do not have. We lack thankfulness sometimes because we are overwhelmed by the concerns of the world or by worry, which both crowd out thankfulness. And yet we are called in the scripture many times to be thankful. As I just read in Psalm 127, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. The psalmist calls us to give thanks. The call goes out to the four corners of the globe. Many believe that the context, the historical context of this psalm, is God's people in exile being called back to his land. All God's people from the four corners of the globe are called to give thanks, called to be vocal in their praise for God, for his work in our lives. We're to be public in our praise. All God's people from the four corners of the globe are called to share with others that his love endures forever. The word there in Hebrew is the word hesed, and it means steadfast or unfailing love. It's an attitude of goodness and mercy and kindness and love. It takes verbs of action. It's a doing word. Hesed refers to an attitude as well as an action. God is gracious, and he extends his grace toward those who do not deserve it. From verses 4 to verse 32, we have four pictures, four vignettes, four examples, reasons for thankfulness. Pictures, as one writer said, of God's mercy toward sinners, of God's intervention in distressing circumstances, another writer said. The pattern we see in verses 4 to 32 is a problem is presented, prayer is offered, God makes provision, and there is a call to thanksgiving and a call to praise in response to his provision. God delivers in four situations that the psalmist deals with. He delivers the wanderer. He delivers the prisoner. He delivers those who are sick. He delivers those who are facing adversity. Whatever challenge in your life, God can deliver you. Give thanks when he does. J. Vernon McGee said of these four challenges that believers of all ages, the age of Israel, the age of the church, have shared experiences such as these in their personal lives, and they are applicable to you and to me. The first that the writer deals with, the first challenging circumstance is deliverance from aimlessness. Deliverance from aimlessness. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The idea seems to be aimlessness or purposelessness. Those who have no aim, those who have no purpose, they are just wandering around in life. As one writer said, hunger and thirst are daily reminders that we have needs. We cannot exist without help. We are not self-contained. God's provision for the wanderer is He puts them back on the path, provides a home and food and drink. He led them to safety. The second group mentioned in verses 10 to 16 is those who need be delivered from their bondage. We read, some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. They were prisoners of their own making, prisoners of anger and greed and pride and lust and envy and hatred and wrong thinking and self-sufficiency. Brought about by their own choices, they rebelled against the Word of God, and they rebelled against His will and His authority. Again, a writer said, there are life situations that appear to be absolutely without hope. Sometimes our own actions put us in such dungeons. Sometimes the actions of others are responsible, but however we get there, there is no getting out, and then God rescues us. Verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the deepest gloom. God's provision for them is He delivered them from darkness. He delivered them from bondage. He delivered them from chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds, for He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. The third situation is that who are delivered from sickness, God's power to deliver from sickness. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His words and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Again, they rebelled against the Word, yet it became the source of their healing. He restored them to help. He can deliver us by restoring our physical health, or He can deliver us from sickness by taking us home to be with Himself. Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. The fourth group is those who were delivered from adversities. We read, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' ends. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. One writer said, life has storms from which mere ingenuity cannot save us. They lost their courage. They were terrified. They were at their wits' ends like drunken men unable to find sure footing. They learned how insufficient their skills were. They learned how insufficient their abilities were, for they were of no value. They were out of control. They realized they could not help themselves. But that's the way God brought them to Himself. And when they came to Him and prayed, He stilled the storm and brought them safely home. Verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of elders. In verses 33 to 43, The psalmist writes that God governs nature and he governs human affairs. Rivers can be turned into deserts. Deserts can be turned into fruitful areas that benefit people and increase their number. The psalmist is trying to show us that our trust isn't in this world, but it's in God who never changes, in God who rules this world. Paul David Tripp in New Morning Mercies says this, "I wish I always carried it with me. I wished it always shaped the way I look at life. I wish it directed my desires. I wish it was the natural inclination of my heart. I wish remembering your boundless grace would silence my grumbling. I wish my worship of you, my trust of you, my rest in you would drive away all complaint. If my heart is ever going to be freed of grumbling and ruled by gratitude, I need your grace. Grace to remember, grace to see, grace that produces a heart of humble joy. The heart of thankfulness is humility. The heart of humility is a recognition of God's enduring love in our lives, of his grace to us. So let us be thankful. As we go around the table tomorrow, let us be thankful for family, for spouses, for children, for grandchildren. Let us be thankful for work to do. Let us be thankful for churches and the fellowship of believers. But let us all, above all, be thankful for the God of grace who meets our deepest needs, who fills our hunger, releases us from bondage, provides health, and delivers us from adversities. Lord, thank you for your deliverance. And we praise you, Lord. And we don't forget you on this day of Thanksgiving tomorrow, but we remember you. And we remember in humility that all that we have is from you. And you are the living God who loves us. In Jesus' name, amen.